Our reading today is taken from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. This can be found on page 921 in the Pew Bibles. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a member of the court of Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you'll be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." Immediately, mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, there hasn't been much holiday weather about this past week, or even sitting out in the garden weather. But a postcard always brightens up your day. Projectors allowing, there would have been a nice postcard on the screen. It isn't that the Apostle is sending us home some holiday postcards. Yes, the Apostle Paul did go on trips, what we might call multiple destination tours, but they weren't holidays. This week, Paul's postcard does come from a popular holiday destination, but that isn't why Paul was on Cyprus. I know there are some of you here who've visited Cyprus and enjoyed holidays there, perhaps some who still have their Cyprus tan. Cyprus has, for a long time, been an important island in the eastern Mediterranean. For centuries, ships sailing in that part of the Mediterranean Sea would use Cyprus as a safe stopping place. And so there was much trade and travel passing through Cyprus. If we'd read at the end of Acts chapter 4, we would have learned there that Barnabas, who traveled with Paul, was a native of Cyprus. Indeed, it seems at this point in the story, even in Acts chapter 13, that Barnabas appears to be the senior partner between Barnabas and Paul. He is named first in verse 2 and again in verse 7. Barnabas had indeed been a Christian before Paul, but we're going to start noticing a change in roles. We learned that the Lord has plans for Paul, and Paul is the chosen, appointed, and gifted apostle and leader of this missionary work to Cyprus and beyond. What message, then, is Paul sending us from Cyprus? Well, he still doesn't have the postcode on his postcard, but it got here. "Dear all, I've been proclaiming the word of God. Wish you were here, Paul. On his postcard, Paul is telling us what he's been doing on Cyprus. He hasn't been sitting on the beach all day. He hasn't been visiting the ruins that the tourists today go and see. If Paul had gone to visit the ruins at that time, they wouldn't have been ruins. They would have been nice, upstanding buildings. Paul isn't up all night partying and out all day surfing or whatever he does. Paul has been proclaiming the word of God. Tamsin read for us earlier. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they, Barnabas and Paul, went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God. They proclaimed it in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. The picture we're to have in our mind here is of an ancient herald, someone who has been sent ahead of the king to proclaim and announce his arrival, someone who is sent running from the site of a battlefield to proclaim and announce victory in the battle. This idea of being a herald, a proclaimer, there's a phrase that resonates in certain parts of Edinburgh. This is one of the common ways in which Luke writes of making the gospel known. The gospel is made known by proclamation. It is good news which is to be heralded. Now in other towns, and we're going to hear this in some of the postcards we'll get in the next few weeks, Paul will discuss with people. He will argue and debate. He will persuade and dialogue. And all of these are good ways to make the gospel known. But we cannot forget the importance of proclamation. They proclaimed the word of God. The heralds of the gospel set forth very plainly the good news of all that God has done to achieve the salvation of all women and men. And they especially spoke about all that God has done in and through Jesus Christ, his cross and his resurrection. This is the common theme of all the proclamation of the word of God. Whenever the word of God is proclaimed, Jesus is at the center, and his cross and his resurrection is the theme. Jesus Christ is Lord. In his death on the cross, sins are forgiven. In his resurrection from the grave, the new life of the kingdom of God has already started. This proclamation invites, calls, and welcomes all of us into that kingdom of God to be his people and to know Jesus. Paul has been proclaiming the word of God. The gospel is being made known. And Paul writes for us, "Wish you were here." Paul longs for all people to hear the proclamation of the gospel, to know that God loves them, to know that in Jesus our sins are forgiven and we can live a new life in the kingdom of God. Paul wants you to know this today for yourself. Wish you were here. This explains, I hope, the rather strange title for our sermon today. Have you received Paul's ministry? The ministry of Paul and his proclaiming the word of God is the basis, the foundation for all Christian ministry, for all proclaiming of the gospel. Paul will write to the church in Ephesus that the church is established, is founded upon the apostles and the prophets, upon the apostolic proclamation of Jesus as Lord. There is only one gospel, one Lord, one God, one Savior. And so there is only one proclamation of the gospel. Yes, it comes in many different accents. Yes, it comes in many different languages, in many different styles, in many different forms. But when we truly hear the gospel, what we are hearing is that first proclamation of Paul proclaimed all over again, because it's the same gospel. We are hearing again the ministry of the apostles, the ministry of Paul. So have you received Paul's ministry? Have you heard and believed the gospel? Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that Jesus is Lord? That the kingdom of God is here. It has started and is growing, and you are invited into it. Today, we all have another chance to hear and receive this apostolic ministry. In Paul's proclaiming the word of God, one of the wonderful things we see very clearly is the Holy Spirit at work. I'm sure you'll know that the Holy Spirit has only appeared very occasionally throughout the whole of the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, beginning in the Christmas stories, the Holy Spirit suddenly appears all over the place and becomes very active. So much so that in the book of the Acts, the Holy Spirit is at work on every page, in every story, in every work of God carried out through the ministry of the apostles. The Holy Spirit is at work, and he is still at work today. Paul and Barnabas and all the other apostles, everyone who has preached the gospel since then, everyone who has spoken of the gospel on the telephone, over coffee, in a conversation with a neighbor or friend, all of them have been filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak. Back in verse 2, we heard, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." The work of proclaiming the gospel is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is intimately involved every time the gospel is proclaimed. It is a work which the Holy Spirit chooses to do by calling women and men, by having them set apart for this work, by filling them with his own presence and power to proclaim the good news of God's kingdom. We might even say this is the primary work of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit falls upon the apostles, and what happens? They speak. They speak the good news. That's how we know the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit is the speaking Spirit. The Spirit wants to speak the Word of God to all people, and he wants to use your words and mine that they might become his words. Some people, like Barnabas and Paul, the Spirit has set apart for this vital task of proclaiming the Word of God. With others, the Holy Spirit still wants to speak, to use their words, but in their lives, he does this in a less formal way. We can all be empowered by the Holy Spirit. We will all be empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak the gospel to our neighbors, our friends, our families, to speak about our faith in Jesus. And this is Holy Spirit proclamation of the gospel. Whenever you hear the gospel proclaimed, whenever you find yourself enabled to speak of Jesus as Lord, you know right there, right then, the Holy Spirit is present and at work. In Paul's proclamation of the gospel and in Paul's deeds, we also see the Holy Spirit actively at work. The words which Paul speaks in the synagogue to Sergius Paulus, the proconsul, are powerful words. Not because they are Paul's words, not because Paul was some gifted orator, but because God, the Holy Spirit, is at work through his words. But there is a challenge for us in this passage. We read of a powerful work done by the Holy Spirit, and it does cause us some troubles. Elim asked the magician, for that's the meaning of his name, opposed them. He sought to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, note this, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. He said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now the hand of the Lord is upon you. You will be blind, unable to see the sun for a time." Immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Now, if this is the Holy Spirit powerfully working, we might well be thinking to ourselves, I don't want much of this. This doesn't sound very good. Why does God sometimes work like this? Yes, Elymas was opposing the gospel, but we've all done this in our own way at various times. We have all opposed the proclamation of the gospel. Many still do that today. Why did God blind Elymas? Perhaps we might want to wriggle out by saying, well, it wasn't God. Paul just got angry, and he announced this curse on this poor man, and God had got nothing to do with it. But that won't work. Just think for a moment. If we were able to blind everyone we ever got angry with, there would be a whole lot of blind people around. And we wouldn't be far behind them because we sure annoy some other people. God, by his Holy Spirit, did this. The point of the story is to reinforce what we learn elsewhere. God will not allow anyone or anything to interfere with the proclamation of his gospel. God has raised Jesus from the dead. He invites you and everyone to enter his kingdom, to know his love and his grace and his mercy in Christ for themselves. We have an enemy who will do anything to stop that good news from being heard. But that enemy has been defeated in Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit is at work among us to overcome the spoiling tactics of our enemy, that we might, in the power of the Holy Spirit, hear and believe the good news of God in Jesus. The Holy Spirit is powerfully at work in this story to enable Paul to speak of Jesus by deeds of power, to enable others to hear and respond to the gospel. The same powerful Holy Spirit is at work among us today. God raised Jesus from the dead, not only for a proconsul in Cyprus 2,000 years ago, but for you and for me. God pours out his Holy Spirit not only on one Pentecost day, but every day, that we might, in the power of the Spirit, know the gospel and live in the reality of the beginning now and growing now reign of God in his kingdom, which is breaking out among us. In Paul's ministry then, proclaiming the word of God, the light of the gospel is shining. The light of the gospel was shining through Paul's ministry in Cyprus, and it is now shining among us today. The light is shining for all people. The gospel is proclaimed for all and to all people. We read that Paul went to preach in the synagogues. It's the gospel for Jews. He preached to those who were not Jews. It's the gospel for all who are not Jews. We read that Paul preached to the intelligent and wealthy Sergius Paulus, the proconsul. People of influence and power and significance, the gospel's for them. There is no one for whom the gospel is not proclaimed. That includes you. There is no category of humanity into which you can count yourself and imagine that the gospel is not for you. It is for you. Let the light of the gospel proclaimed among us shine upon you. God has sent out heralds into all creation, those who speak the word of God, the good news of the kingdom, the grace of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. The proclamation of the gospel is not for some, but for all. Whenever you hear the good news of Jesus, you are hearing God's word for you. Notice verse 12. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. He wasn't astonished at the miracle performed on a man to make him blind. He was astonished at the word of God, the teaching of God. How long will you hear this word of God and not recognize that it is for you? How long will you let the good news of salvation enter into one ear and pass straight out the other without pausing in between? What more do you need God to do for you than for him to tell you that he loves you? God wants to shout it from the rooftops. In Jesus, sins are forgiven. Broken lives are put back together again. The gospel is the eternal declaration of God's love for you. Hear it and believe it. And if you think this ministry of Paul's, this proclamation of the gospel, is just another human self-help idea, if you think Paul and Barnabas dreamt it up one night in Antioch and decided to go preaching it all round Turkey, then don't believe it at all. If it's some human idea, then it isn't more use to you than chocolate and sunshine. But if just once you catch a glimpse that God is at work in this, if in the words of the gospel you actually hear God speaking to you, if in the cross and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus you discern something of God's powerful hand at work, if you know the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit within you, drawing you to Jesus, then believe it, because it's true, and God is proclaiming his love before you. God doesn't ask you or anyone else to believe by themselves. God has spoken and told you that he loves you. God has acted and shown you that he loves you. God has poured out his Holy Spirit upon you so that you might believe he loves you. Receive this ministry, but not from Paul, but from God himself for you. Receive this good news of the gospel and believe it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that in every place, in every time, in all sorts of ways, you declare this good news that you love women and men. And we thank you for this good news. We pray that we would hear it today for ourselves, that we would know again that you love us in Jesus, that you forgive our sins, that you raise us to the new life of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Be at work among us for this, that we might hear this good news and believe this good news, and so live in this good news. Father, be at work among us for this, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.